This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
Hey guys, welcome to the Hero Academy podcast, the place where you can celebrate and highlight our frontline heroes. People such as nurses, firemen, EMS, police officers, and military are all heroes without capes. I don't care about politics, only positivity and purpose. I only care about those that have chosen to serve our society. I believe in collaboration over competition. Here, you'll learn the secrets and strategies that let ordinary people become extraordinary inside of their purpose. Sometimes we'll throw in some simple side hustles that everyday regular people are doing, things that you could do to make some extra money, especially if you're starting to think about retirement and what's next. Inside this podcast, each week you'll learn from people like you that were working full time but still found the time to create a course, grow a big team, create a coaching program, a large audience, or a profitable side hustle. The steps they took, their backstories, and how they overcame their burnout that they were facing. The perfect blend of mindset and techniques. Carpe diem. Now let's get your dream lit for your freedom. I'm your host and coach, Super Dave. Let's go.
Nothing scripted. It's just us having a convo, talking about your career as a correction officer, growing up in Ohio and now living in Cali.
Yeah, it's an adjustment.
I was telling you before we started that I only been to Ohio one time. Mm-hmm. And that was in Cleveland. And when we passed Akron, my son said, "Oh, why didn't you book a flight out of Akron?" And I said, "I don't think it was less expensive than flying out of Cleveland. I think it was about the same."
Mm-hmm. You would get a more direct flight out of Cleveland than you would Akron. Akron, you may have a layover somewhere.
Yeah. What part of Ohio did you grow up in?
I grew up in Toledo.
Toledo. And yeah. So my opinion of Ohio was it was very diverse, very mixed.
Okay. All right.
Very Midwestern. It seemed a little run down, but maybe okay. That's just the areas that I drove through.
You know, they got Columbus. They call that the Silicon Valley of the Midwest.
Okay.
And, you know, Ohio used to be like a old steel mill state. So the areas that you might see run down are probably old industries that left the area.
Okay.
The Cleveland Akron area is like a major metro area. So that's where you see all the diversity and a lot of people at.
Yes, yes, yes. We stopped at a sandwich shop that was Black owned. And I wish I could remember the name of it. But the guy was real cool. He was like, "Oh, you should have told me that you were vegan." He's like, "I would have made you up this special sandwich." He's like, "I would have suggested some ingredients." And I was like, "Nah, that's cool, man." We were in a rush anyway to get to the airport. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my son, he did from New York to Arizona, and he did it in three legs. He went from Ohio to Iowa.
Okay.
Linked up with his girlfriend in Iowa. And then they followed each other all the way to Arizona. And they did that in a 2-day leg.
Okay. Yeah. My wife and I, we actually drove from Toledo to California and then California back to Toledo.
What?
Yeah.
How? Yeah. In one car or two cars?
One car. We driving down, we stopped in Amarillo, Texas and stayed the night. So we drove like 15, 16 hours the first night. And then after that, we finished up like 14, 15 hours headed to LA.
Ooh, with the U-Haul truck or just?
No, it was just a Jeep Cherokee.
And did you do it to like just see the country or like was there a mission behind it?
The mission was we were just jumpstarting our move. This was January of 2020 when we were kind of making a move out here. My wife had found a job out here and they was like, "Hey, we need you here next week." We like, "Oh." So we had to load up the truck and we drove out here.
Okay. All right. And what part of Cali did y'all move to?
We're outside the LA area.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
I've never really seen a lot of Cali. I went to Palm Springs Desert one time for a conference and mm-hmm. I loved it. It's beautiful. You know, the weather is just outstanding all the time.
Yeah, that's actually what you really pay for. You know, a lot of people say California is very, very expensive, man, but you really kind of just pay for the weather. Like it's 300 days of sun out here. So that has great benefits, and it's benefited me greatly because like I haven't aged since I've been here.
I believe it. I believe it. Y'all get out for walks a lot?
There's a lot of hills and mountains around the area where you could take decent hikes, and then just walking around the neighborhood. Once again, it's just pretty safe. You know, the air is clean, and 35 minutes from the beach, about 35 minutes from downtown LA. So there's a lot to do here.
Now I got somebody I could connect with when I go out there.
Yeah, for sure. Just let me know, man.
Yeah, I will. I will. I will. I won't try to stay with you. You know, I'll stay close.
Right. No worries, man.
But that's why one of the reasons why me and my girl like Arizona is because you can get out and walk. But the weather in Arizona gets ridiculously hot. It's not like Cali, where it's like steady 85, 80 all the time. Arizona gets up to 115, like crazy heat.
Yeah, we were there last year in August, and I was like, are you crazy? Like, this is 113 degrees. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, this goes on all day. So we were actually at an event, and the guy was like, oh man, that's pretty cool out here. I'm like, dude, it's 100. Like, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. It's 100 degrees. He's like, oh man, this is all right. I'm like, I don't know, man. But after a while, you kind of tolerate it, I
Yeah,
guess. You know, for the
you
people
get
that's
used to
there,
it.
you get used to it after a while
You
because it's just a
acclimate to
dry
it.
heat.
You acclimate to it. Yeah, even though they say it's a dry heat, you still it's hot.
Right, it's still hot, right? For sure.
I was in Vegas one time, and I walked out like you said, like 9:30. I walked out of a conference 9:30 at night, and I could not believe that it was still 100 degrees, and the heat that was coming off of the pavement felt like I was in an oven. I'd never experienced that before.
Man, you should have caught a breeze. We were in Vegas too, and it was still like 95, 97 degrees, and it was windy. So just imagine all that hot air actually just blowing in there. I'm like, I don't know, man. It's kind
You
of oxymoronic how that
feel like
works.
you're in a convection in a convection oven.
Yeah, seriously.
So growing up in Toledo, Ohio, what made you want to join corrections? Was that your first career, or did you have a career before that?
Oh man, I got a story for you. So that wasn't really my first career. Like I never thought that I would be a correctional officer a day in my life. I was actually working at UPS, and I had bought a new car, and it was like, hey, you need full coverage for this new car. So I'm like, dang, I got to find a second job. So I applied for a second job. My neighbors had told me like, hey man, my job's hiring. It's pretty flexible hours because I needed some part-time to still work at UPS. So I applied for the job filling up vending machines. So when I got started, they like, hey, you don't mind working inside of a prison? I'm like, nah, that's kind of scary, man. Because you think of all the movies, you think of blood in, blood out, you think of penitentiary, you think of all the other scary stuff that goes on within prison.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? I got to pay this car insurance, man. So I needed the job. So, you know, I go in there, I'm filling up the vending machines. You see the inmates. I ain't seen nobody get stabbed or anything like that. And the officers that was escorting me was like, hey, why don't you come work in here, man? You seem pretty cool. You can hold yourself. And hey, I think you'll be okay. So I applied. I quit the vending company, and they were kind of disappointed. Like, hey, man, you were our best vendor. And I turned into a career corrections.
Wow. Did you ever work in a women's prison or all only men's?
Only men. I don't. That's kind of tricky. You know, I hear things about, you know, men working in women prisons, and not saying that I can't contain myself or anything like that, but I don't want to put myself in those situations though either.
And they're so, everyone is trying to compromise your integrity. Everyone.
Yeah, every men and women, you know,
Yes.
you'd be surprised the things that they ask you or the things that they throw at you to try to break you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's trying to. I that's one thing that I know is that they're all trying to break your integrity so that they can have you in their pocket if they need to.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in some instances, you know, there you do give a little bit of leeway as an officer. I mean, hey, all right, man, you need some extra ice, or hey, you got a couple extra minutes on the phone. But you know, that's kind of like tit for tat a little bit, too. But as far as like giving up my integrity, you know, now I'm endangering my family. I couldn't go home and tell my family, hey man, dad got fired because I bought something in for an inmate. Like that was never went across my mind for that.
Did anyone you work with ever get fired for that?
It was a lot of people, man. It was kind of like a revolving door. You know, some people would come in and you would never think in a million years that this person is bringing in drugs. But like I say, I think we're in a career, and if you hear it three times, it's true. You know, so like they'd be like, oh man, you hear such and such, man, they Kavan. I'm like, nah, he ain't Kavan. And then you hear it from somebody else, and you hear it from somebody else. And next thing you know, 2 weeks later, they're getting walked out or they put on admin leave or something. So it happened a lot.
So that's the term they use, conveying, huh?
Yeah, conveyance. Yep, conveyance of you know, contraband inside the prison.
No, I know. That's a problem across the country where, you remember that crazy story where that female correction officer had that guy, and she had him on the run. She thought she was in love with him.
That happens a lot more than you think. A lot of this is how I can explain it, especially for, you know, female officers. You know, every day, you know, a lady is walking down the street. Nobody's telling her she looks beautiful. But as soon as she comes into prison and works, like all of these inmates, 1,100 inmates is telling her that she looks beautiful every day. And she may not be attractive, but they're going to tell her every day, every day, every day. Hey, your nails look nice. Hey, Miss Jones, your earrings are blinging. Hey, your hair look nice. That gets to them sometimes. You know, some of them are stronger than others, but that may get to you. And then next thing you know, now you've been compromised here a couple months later.
I had a guy out when I was in uniform on the street. He was looking me up and down, and he's like, man, you're in pretty good shape. You know what? I absorbed that compliment, and it definitely went to my head. So I can see how someone telling you every single day, man, so were you bigger when you were in uniform?
No, I'm about the right size. I'm about 5'10", 5'11", about 180, 190 during my career. But
Same
then, you know,
muscular frame.
so I'm taking better care of myself right now. Corrections, you get lazy, man. Honestly, you know, you're sitting there, you do rounds, and you just really sit there. You know, every 30 minutes, you know, you'll get up and do a round. You're sitting there eating. You're not taking care of yourself because you don't feel like you got time, or you may get froze over. So you're not really taking care of yourself. So you have to really kind of like put in a regimen to make sure that you take care of yourself. So when I came out here, once again, the motivation of 300 days of sun gets me motivated to want to take care of myself. Plus, I'm getting older. So I got a 16-year-old who tries me sometimes, and you know, I want to be ready for him.
My oldest son, we used to get into it all the time. We're really close now. He works for the post office, and he has a son, so I'm a grandfather, and we're very close. We communicate every day. But when he was 15, 16, 17, we went through some tough years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it comes with the territory, but I don't want him to think, oh, well, my dad's old, he could take me. Nah, I'm in the gym every day. Every day.
That's where I just came from. I'm in the gym every day too.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
I make sure at minimum 4 days that I get in.
Do you have your own stuff at home, or do you actually go to a gym too?
I actually go to the gym. My current employer, my past employer, all had gyms on site. So before we get started with work, or we may take a lunch break or something like that, I'll hit the gym. That was pretty much my regimen.
Did you get approval to mention your current employer?
Yes, I did.
And all right, so now's a good time to segue into it. Who do you work
Okay, no
for
problem.
now?
Okay, so right now I work for Sierra Health. What we do is frontline behavioral wellness for first responders. For first responders that are actually, you know, stressed, have anxiety, have work issues. We actually help them to get them back to some type of normalcy.
Retired or
Uh,
active
re,
or both?
re, retire, retire too. We deal with a lot of retired first responders as well because they still deal with that trauma that kind of hampered their career a little bit. They still remember a lot of incidents that stick with them to this day, which may drive them to drinking or drive them to being overly stressed. So we reach out to those that are retired. We reach out to those that are still on duty. Anybody that's just pretty much on the front line, like I say, I commend a lot of you guys that's on the front line because you see a little bit more than what we do inside the walls. You know, you go up on a five car accident and somebody's face is smushed up against a window, or and they're still trying, my help me, and there's nothing you can do. That sticks with you. So with that being sticking with you, you could call us and we kind of get you that help that you need to try to get you some type of normalcy. Like I say, you'll never forget it, but if we could kind of clear it and get you a normal path of life, then that's what we do.
People joke about it, but I remember seeing a woman go from the back seat. She was sitting in the middle of a Toyota 4Runner, and she didn't have a seatbelt on, and she hit her forehead on the rearview mirror, and it peeled back her, or like the, it peeled back the skull, and you could see like bone, like you know, people joke about it, but I still remember that.
Right, and that could be traumatic to you. You know what I mean? That affects your sleep, that affects your way of life, that affects the way you drive. Like, yeah, that people need help for that. And a lot of people don't know how to reach out for that, because one thing about our careers, especially being in law enforcement, is that it's kind of shamed and frowned upon for you to go reach out for help. Hey, dude, I'm stressed out. Oh, man, suck it up. Oh, man, tough it out. You'll be okay. Yeah. And actually, you not. And, you know, when you get told to suck it up and tough it up, you know, tough it out rather numerous times, it kind of sticks with you and all that stuff builds up. And that stuff end up killing you, man, before it's all said and done.
I think there's a lot bigger emphasis on mental health now with this current generation and people understanding, like, hey, if someone says they need help, I don't think that suck it up culture is as prevalent as it used to be when, you know, when we first started.
Yeah, you still got some of the old guard that's out there, you know. So, you know, just like you said, you know, it's getting better. But a lot of the old guard is still there, and it does get passed down to some people. So it's give and take.
So typically I don't ask about trauma, but I know that all of my audience wants to know, did you ever see somebody get in their booty clapped? Did you ever see anybody getting raped in the prison? Because that's what anybody that doesn't work in the prison, they all want to know that.
So, no. Now, does it happen? Yes. Have I been around it? No. Do I know about it? Yes.
Okay.
But it's more of that.
Have you ever went by and heard, like, oh, man, that's what I'm hearing?
So I'll walk by and maybe there's a towel on the door or something like that. And you hear some music playing. Like, you kind of know what it is. You know, you've been in the element for so many years. You know what it is. Like, all right, I'll let somebody else bust that one, you know. But most of our sales were single man sales. So it was like, okay, well, if I went to the bathroom, hey, that's an opportunity. Or if I had to step outside my workspace, that's an opportunity as well. It was like an unwritten rule, man. Just don't do that while I'm here. You know, find somebody else. You know, find a rookie to pick on, man. Don't do that for me.
And you told me, which I think is a big misunderstanding, that it's not as much. It's more consensual. It's not as much rape as people think it is. It's like
no, it's not. It is more consensual than anything. Not saying that's sad. Hey, if that's what you do, that's what you do.
Right.
But yeah. Most of it's pretty consensual, man. You find somebody. Well, they find somebody that they are compatible with. Hey, I'm doing this 50 to life. Hey, you doing this 50 to life. I got to, you know, hey, I got to be pleasured. Hey, this is what it's going to be. So right. I don't understand the concept per se, but it happens. And like I say, it's more consensual than everybody thinks.
My girl and I, we joke about being gay while you're away. It's not gay if you're away in prison.
They call it gay for the stay.
Gay for the stay. That's what it is. That's the term, gay for the stay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, you know, to each his own, man. You know, if that's what you want to do when you come to prison, hey, man, just do your time the way you do your time. Just kind of stay out.
I think if you're gay for the stay when you come out, how do you not be? You're still gay.
That is a whole nother conversation, man, that probably won't need to be on this podcast, maybe another podcast. But some guys, they come out, hey, man, I was just there. I was just doing my time. You know what I mean? And you see, I've ran into guys that I knew, you know, kind of got down like that. And then you see them on the streets. I just, you know, I just kind of look at them like, oh, all right. You know, all right. Hey,
who hey, you, whatever. Man? Hey, your business is your business.
Yeah. Hey, you do. Cause they, you know, some people get defensive over that. You know what I mean? You know, it's okay while we inside, but when I'm out here, don't be mentioning that, you know? And I'm like, okay, all right. Hey, man, you do you, man. Don't do you. I'm married. So all the other women are for you, you know, but if I was so happen to be single or something like that, and I see you talk to somebody, I'll be like, oh, hey, excuse me. Hey, you might want to, you know, be on the lookout for that. But once again, it's acceptable nowadays. So, you know, some women don't care about that.
How about anything wild? You ever see anything wild? Like, what's the wildest thing you've seen?
I got a small story, man. It was hot. This was probably 2013. And we get a call for emergency out in the rec yard. Now it's about 100 degrees outside. You know, the Midwest is very humid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got guys working out. And I'm going out to the rec yard. And I'm like, okay, man, where's this emergency at? You know, I knew something was going on because this the inmates was just acting very abnormal at the time. You know, you got some working out, you got some running around, you got some playing basketball. So somebody gave me a head and I was like, hey, you might want to go over there. Mm-hmm. So as I was walking, I see a guy on the ground and he near the dip bar and the workout equipment that we had on site. And I go walking and I see him breathing. Now, once again, it's hot outside, you know, people could pass out. So I'm thinking that, you know, hey, maybe he done passed out. So as I go ahead and step over to like grab him, I look over and next thing you know, man, I see like all of his brains is just out the back of his head. So I'm like, man, what the heck done happened? So
and
like
people, you know, still playing basketball?
It's normal. That is normal. Like, all right, hey, you know, can't nobody come up to me like, hey, Garrett, this guy just got beat up. You know what I mean? Right. Nobody's going to say that, but they could, you know, give me a head now, like, hey, man, you might want to go over there, you know?
Right.
And I go there and I see the back of his brains, all his cerebellum, all of this is just on the ground, look like spaghetti.
Wow.
And so we call emergency, you know, clear the rec yard out, you know, we get him out here, get him to the hospital, whatnot, man. Come to find out, man, two guys beat him up with metal baseball bats. And the prison has been around since 2001 and they were kind of still playing softball, but never had an incident with those bats until that day. So now they don't even play baseball there no more. Wow. But that was one of the craziest things that I saw because I kind of underestimated what really happened until I got there. And next thing you know, you see all of this just out the side of his head. And that's what you remember. And then I turn around and work overtime and go to the hospital. So now you see all these, now that I know what happened, I see all these bat marks on him, just on his back, on his legs, on the back of his head. They kept him alive enough for his people to get there, and they pulled the plug on him.
Wow. Did you ever go and talk to anyone about that situation?
No. No. It was like, you know, you could, you know, just like you said, you know, earlier on, we kind of joke about it. I think that's our way of coping. Like, oh, man, that's messed up, man. What happened to dude? Man, they beat him with bats. But did I get some help or did I talk to somebody about that? No. You write the report of what you saw, and you get back to work.
Yeah. That's wild, man. So all told, how many years did you do?
I did 16 and a half years. It was right on time. I think I left right on time, man, because I was really burnt out. You know, you can make all the money you want, but you're still not happy. And you just didn't feel like you were going anywhere. Like, I feel fulfilled now that I'm out of there.
Good for you. How did you know, like, it was time to leave? Was it one specific incident or was it just cumulative effects of, all right, it's time?
Well, it was time because I knew that we were moving. But aside from, you know, getting ready to relocate to California, just the way, like, my tolerance of stuff, you mm-hmm. know, just like, you know, another incident, I'll tell you, there was a lieutenant and kind of overzealous. And, you know, hey, I'm the lieutenant. Hey, you know, I do this. I run my show. So I'm actually training a new guy. And then there's this guy. He's known as the number one bomber in the state. And I'll tell you what a bomber is. A bomber is basically somebody who throw bombs of fecal matter at you. He's number one known in the state. So everybody knows this, even the lieutenant. So the lieutenant and the number one bomber, they going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth all day. So I tell this rookie, I'm like, look, if I tell you to turn around because something about to happen. And he was like, you know, and I'm fast forwarding the story, but he was like, man, you don't want to help the lieutenant? I was like, nah, because earlier I told the lieutenant, leave dude alone because you already know what's going to come with messing with him. He going to bomb you out.
Right.
I'm the lieutenant. I do this. I do what I want. I run my show. All right, run your show. So fast forward, you know, he get the number one bomber, put him in the rec cage. And I'm like, hey, Rook, it's about to go down. So we about to go ahead and turn around. And next thing you know, man, the bomber, he called the lieutenant over to the rec cage. And next thing you know, he bombed him out. And next thing you know, man, just this the worst smell in your life just came about. And I told the rookie, man, turn around. He like, man, we not going to help. I like, nope, I tried to help him earlier. But he didn't want to listen. yeah, I don't have any bars. I don't have any type of leadership. But hey, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this for a while. And he pretty much had to clean himself up and get back to work. I laughed about that. You know what I mean? Instead of kind of feeling sorry for him, I laughed about that. And when you get to that point, like instead of not having no compassion for other people like that, it's time to go.
Yeah. It's good that you knew that. And I know that you and your wife have a side business, print on demand and crafts and things. I love that growth shirt that you had. Mm-hmm. You could make that in any color.
I could put that in any color, anything you want on that. I could put it on black and white, any color you could think of. I could put that on a shirt for you.
And people submit designs.
We submit designs. We could create a design for you, or you could submit a design. You have something in mind, just, you know, let me know.
Yeah. That's cool. And if people want to make something, they want to support your business, what's the website? What's the process?
So we have a Facebook page, and then we also have an email address that you could submit it to. It's creativelydifferentllc@gmail.com. And then
say it one more time slower. Create what?
Creatively Different.
Oh, Creatively Different.
Yep. LLC@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yep. And I could type it out and spell it. You could probably put it in the subtext of the video. But yeah, that's what we do. We do crafting and we ship all over the country now. So if you need something, like I say,
send me the Facebook link.
Yeah, I will do that.
Yeah, so this way I'll put it in the show notes. And that's cool that you work with burnt out, because you was one time burnt out yourself.
Yeah. So another thing that I kind of want to put, put out there, you know, aside from, you know, me being burnt out, man, you know, seeing the growth of some inmates. A lot of people don't talk about that. A lot of people feel like, hey, it's officer against inmate. But once again, you still have to think these guys are human beings as well. And kind of seeing the growth of some inmates, man, was astounding as well. You know, they get in there, you know, you're young, you're immature. And now next thing you know, hey, man, I'm going home. I don't know if you remember Maurice Claret.
No.
Okay, Maurice Claret was a star running back for the Ohio State football team. Won a national championship against Miami. He was actually in my joint. And just kind of seeing his growth and where he's been, you might want to reach out to him, you know, seriously. Okay. He got a good story to tell, too. But seeing the growth of him or seeing the growth of other inmates, now it's
what
like...
What did he get put in for? And then did he stay out of trouble? I guess he stayed out because you're talking about...
Yeah, he stayed out of trouble. He was... I think they got him from armed robbery and burglary or something like that, possession of weapons. He got 6 years, ended up doing three, and now he's a motivational speaker. He works for UConn. You'll see him all over the place, man. He's doing this thing. And, you know, that's one of many stories where you hear from people, you know, being inside the joint. Once they leave, you know, they kind of make something out of themselves. And like I said, I really want to applaud them, because a lot of officers and themselves kind of put in that work for them. So when they get out, they can actually make something out of themselves.
So that's got to be rewarding when you see the growth of certain individuals who, like, society has basically written them off.
Yes. And you really shouldn't do that. Everybody deserves a second chance, you know, and if you get that
not
second
everybody, chance. Not the child.
Not everybody. You're right. I my bad about that. Not everybody deserves a second chance. But for those that do get that second chance, I just hope that they don't blow it. And the guys that I've encountered while I was inside the joint, they took advantage of the opportunities, and they're really doing something out here.
And since I mentioned the predators, I used to work in SVU. I know that a lot of times they get put in isolation, or they don't even tell people what they went in for.
Mm-hmm. So most of the time with the predators, like they're high profile cases, so they get put in PC, protective custody, with other ones. So you don't really hear much about them. They're kind of out of sight, out of mind for the most part. But if you did something really heinous, you know, your day is going to come somehow.
Yeah, a lot of them, I would notice that they didn't have criminal records. Like the first time they got caught was mm-hmm. for the most heinous crime that they committed.
Yeah. So yeah, they don't have like a background of like coming to prison or anything like that. So they come woefully unprepared. Not saying that you have to wake up every day like, all right.
They're not from the street.
They're not from the streets. No, yeah. It, That's what I meant to say, probably. But
I know what you mean.
They're not prepared, man. So when they walk in, it's just like a rude awakening. Like, dang, I finally got caught, and this is what I have to, you know, I got to face the music now. So now I'm here with other real life predators that have been doing real life time here.
If you know of any other correctional officers that have created a business for themselves or mm-hmm. like turned around and became motivational speakers, I'd like to connect with them. So definitely okay. put us in touch. It's a whole world that like people are curious about, because it's a place that I know I never wanted to go to. I never wanted to take that job. And I mm-hmm. never wanted to be on the other side of any side of the bars. I never wanted to be on.
Right, for sure. It's a different ball game. It's you know, a lot of people, they frown on it. Oh, it's not real law enforcement, man. But
it is.
You got to keep them locked up. I mean, we keep them locked up, then you know, it makes your job easier if we keep them locked up. So,
yeah.
It's a different ball game. It served its purpose for me. It jump started my move out here. It jump started me to doing a lot of stuff. So I'm happy with it. I don't regret it, but I'm glad I'm done with it.
Yeah, I feel you. I applaud you for taking the job in the first place and then realizing when it was time to move on and not like clinging to it because you were making decent money. I know a lot of COs across the country get a lot of overtime. Some mm-hmm. of them are doing triple and double what their salary is because they're making so much in overtime. So it's hard to give that up when you get used to it.
Yeah, it is. And then the money was, I mean, you could pretty much write your own check. Hey, you want to take a vacation here pretty soon? That's a big cat, man.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, if you want to take a vacation, you want to take a cruise, you want to do some home improvements, man, you go ahead and sign that overtime book and it's there for you. So a lot of people took advantage of that, including myself. And, you know, you get the nice, easy cush jobs once you get seniority. So it made overtime real easy to do.
Yeah, I got an attack cat. He's just he's real furry, so he looks like he's fatter than he is, but he's just very bushy. And then okay. I got another one, Reese and Butters.
Uh-huh.
I've been a dog person forever.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he's a big boy.
Okay.
He's a big boy for sure.
Right.
But he won't leave me alone when I'm recording. That's why I usually have him upstairs. You know, today, he's just like jumping on my leg and he wants me to pet. He's very aggressive with affection. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other one will not want to be touched. He doesn't want to be picked up. This one wants to be in your lap all the time. And he's like, why aren't you petting me right now? And then when he was a kitten, he used to nibble at my ankles and mm-hmm. I would get so mad.
Yeah.
But I knew he was just asking for affection. But mm-hmm. and also, if you pet him not looking, he'll know that you're not paying full attention and he'll actually nibble on your hand. And sometimes it hurts. And yeah, so he can be very demanding and he can be annoying. You got any animals?
No pets, man. I don't really have the time to take care of the pets. So I can't do it right now.
My girl, she wanted a dog, and I got a friend who I grew up with who raises pits. And I love, our first dog was a boxer. The next one was a French bulldog. And now I would love to have a pit, but I'm good on the animals right now. I got two cats. I don't want to add a third. Dogs are a lot of work.
Yeah, they are. They are. Especially, you know, once you start them up and, you know, they grow up and, you know, I think once they get older and acclimated to your rules and how they run the house, I think they'll be cool then. But it's just like raising a kid.
Yeah, this guy, like I said, he's very demanding, so he's like, he's on my case right now. He's like, why aren't you paying attention to me? Right. Yo, I appreciate you coming on, Anthony. It was really good to connect with you. And when I'm definitely gonna hit you up when I go out to Cali. Freaking cat. I can't have him down here when I'm recording.
Yeah, no. And when you come out here, actually let me know, and I could actually take you to, you know, our facility of where I work at now. You know, what I mean, to kind of see the frontline behavioral wellness program that we run. That'd be great for you to see, and you can actually take that back to your department because we service nationwide.
Okay.
So it's not just limited to California, man. If you got issues, you know, come through. You know, get the help that you need, man.
I know they have all types of different services right here on Long Island. Are you familiar with Long Island? You ever been?
I haven't been to New York since 2003, four.
It's
I haven't
different
been
than
to Long Island though.
the city. It's the burbs, and it's very supportive of law enforcement, conservative, I guess you could say, and most people just don't want it to become the city.
I think that's everywhere,
Yeah, that's everywhere. But some places you can't help, like the elements, they just start, funneling out towards you. Like I said, I try to stay away from politics, but
Oh, for sure. I don't blame you, man. It's
yeah,
tricky at best.
it's messy. But California, are there a lot of homeless where you like do you step out and see tent cities?
So it's isolated. You know,
Okay.
there are certain parts of LA that, okay, all right, you know, of course you got Skid Row. That's world famous right there. There's some parts of Hollywood, you know, of course, you know, what you see in Hollywood is the good parts. You know, you see the
Right.
red carpets, you see all our stars, but you go to some parts of Hollywood and there's blocks of tents. Is it everywhere like everybody would say it is? No. Is
Okay.
it there? Yes, it is. I mean, it's homeless people everywhere, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
but for them to try to narrow it down all in LA, I think it's kind of unfair.
I was surprised how many homeless we visited DC. I was surprised how many homeless there were sleeping in the parks. Like there's a lot of homeless in DC.
So one thing about California, it's actually not bad to be homeless, and I say that nicely because you have the weather. The
Right.
weather's very favorable for you to be homeless. And then on another end of it is that you could get you a camper or a Sprinter van, you know, kind of turn that to your home outside of a home, and get a gym membership, and you could be homeless. You could work a 9 to 5 and be homeless. And there's a lot of people that do that here. Have a 9 to 5, may make $80,000, $90,000 a year, but it's cheaper for them to live in a van or get a camper and be homeless. And they consider those people.
I've actually heard of numerous entrepreneurs who that's their story. I lived in a van for X amount of years, and now I'm a multimillionaire.
So that happens a lot more, and they classify those people as homeless. And you know, of course, there's a lot of substance and drug use that hinders some people, but for the most part, most people are homeless by choice.
As far as carrying, when you were off duty, did you ever carry in Ohio or no?
I carry not so much, man. It's kind of, you know, I don't want to get on a political thing on it, but I feel as a black man, you know, carrying a gun, you know, we had an open carry state and I got Second Amendment rights. I was still frowned upon and looked at funny for carrying.
I never carry for the same exact reason. I don't. There was a white officer that was shot in the next county over when he drew down on a robbery. Another cop responded and thought he was the bad guy. And I'm like, if that guy's getting shot, I'm like, I am never, never, I'm never bringing a gun out anywhere.
I mean, it carrying was just my personal thing. It never had anything to do
It's
with
my personal
corrections.
preference too that I
Yeah, it
don't.
was just a personal preference. It didn't have anything to do with corrections. There was no link between that or anything. So it was just, hey, I'm using my constitutional right to carry, but you still frowned upon because, all right, well, this black man got a gun, but hey, so does this person have a gun and I'm allowed to carry it. But luckily I never had any incidents where people called the police on me for having a gun. But in Ohio, you know, hey, everybody open carries, man. You could go to a grocery store and you see somebody with an AR across your chest.
Wow.
And that's just showing out. It's not necessary for you to carry an AI to go get a dozen of eggs and some cheese.
Yeah. But regular civilians in Ohio will have guns on their hip on a in a holster.
Ohio, and I left, but yeah, they have an open carry law, and now you don't even have to have a license. You don't have to have a CCW or anything now. So now, not saying it's the Wild Wild West or anything like people would say, but it keeps people on their toes. You
Yeah,
make sure you're not trying nothing because you just never know who's carrying.
not as much road rage.
Right, yeah, that part.
Anthony, I appreciate you coming on. Did you guys hit the church already?
No, actually, we're gonna start getting prepared right now as soon as I get
All
done with
right.
this.
Thank you so much for your time, and we'll connect offline. We'll talk soon.
Yep, I got you, man. Appreciate you.
Later.
Yeah.
All right, family. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Everyone I interview, I've chosen for you guys because of their story. And I hope that you get some value every single time. If you did get value or just simply enjoyed the episode, please share the episode with someone that you know. If you know of a guest, a frontline hero that has an amazing story, something uplifting or a positive message, hit me up in the contact form of www.davidleith.com or DM me at Instagram at davidleith1. Subscribe to the show because I have some really phenomenal guests coming up in the next few weeks that you definitely don't want to miss. All right, one.